All right, Red Wings fans, happy Herms Hockey Town Week. It is finally upon us. We are getting ready to descend on the Motor City. Some of us obviously already there, but for the rest of us, getting ready for a little Red Wings hockey with our favorite Brazilian Herm. It is Chris Hollis, back for another week of the Obstructed View. We are coming off of a pretty good Western road trip up there through Canada, kind of a weird one, getting a little three-day break and taking a little vacation time. But the Wings pulling it together, taking 5 of 6 points on the road trip, and all good things as we head into this week. I'm joined this week by the A-plus crew here. We've got George Malik from over at Snapshots. George, what's going on, bud?
Greetings. Not much other than the usual sleepless night, thanks to the late night game.
Now, see,
and Vancouver press being annoying.
Now that you know, that's a given. You know, I live out Seattle, 3 hours south, so I'm not going to complain so much about the time. I thought it was great. You know, I know for you guys, it was a 10 p.m. game last night.
It didn't bug me. It's the not sleeping because the Vancouver press doesn't update their website.
Well, we chatted about it before the call started. You know, it's a carryover to the broadcast. We were commenting on how wonderful CBC's not only their game coverage but their post game news and their actual national news or whatever it is. It was pretty atrocious too. But hey, we got through it. We got out of Vancouver and George now, folks, is actually, we found out before the show started, George is tracking the Red Wings flight from Vancouver to where are they going, George? Minneapolis, is that it?
Yeah, Minneapolis, St. Paul to refuel, and then they're heading to Metro.
George is going to keep us apprised. If anything happens, we have it here first, even though you won't hear this until Monday, but whatever. Anyways, also joining us from over at Babcock's Death Stare, it's Kyle Kajala. Kyle, what's going on, man?
Not a whole lot, Chris. How about yourself?
Dude. Doing well. I'm doing real well. It's a cloudy, rainy day out here in Seattle. Go figure. Surprise, surprise. But I'm happy on the inside. I'm definitely happy on the inside. The Wings did well this week. Michigan hockey. Hey, CCHA champions. Got to love that, too. So I'm pretty pumped about that. But and rounding out the group, can't forget him. All the way in New York City, it's Michael Petrel from the production line. Petrel, what's up, bud?
What's up, dude? How you doing?
I am doing well. And I'm just going to say it right now, Bertuzzi with the goal. How about that?
Of course. Listen, he scores when he knows I'm coming on somehow. The last, I think all 4 or 5 times I've been on the show, he scored the night before.
So we are going to have you become like a permanent member of the panel. You might not even say anything. We're just going to have you on the line, and it's going to...
We can make that happen.
There it is. That's exactly how it's going to happen.
As long as I still win that bet with Andy, and Andy has to record that song,
so,
I'm happy.
Now, wait, what was that bet? It was 20 goals, right?
Yeah, it was 20. I said from the very beginning there's no way he hits 20, and then I looked kind of retarded around December when he had something like 12 or 14, but stuck with it. And the deal was if he fails to hit 20, Andy's got to record the Todd Bertuzzi song, which you can YouTube, and it's absolutely hilarious. I have no idea why it was made in the first place, but... And the deal was if he did hit 20 or go above it, I'd have to change all kinds of stuff around the production line to be a Bertuzzi love fest. But I'm looking kind of safe. Well, we got 11 games left.
11 games. And Big Bert needs to notch 4. So
now, I like my chances.
Here's poetic justice for you. I could see Bert. Maybe he'll pot one on Monday against Pittsburgh, and then maybe he'll slip one in on Wednesday against St. Louis. I hope that he puts a pair on the board against Minnesota when we're there on Friday. And that's when it happens, because it'll be spectacular. We're going to make you know, I'm thinking Natalie from the Scrappy Octopus is still making that shirt.
Yep, she already told me she's got it ready for me.
See, we are going to make sure that you are completely just covered in Todd Bertuzzi love, and it will be awesome. I can't wait. He's going to do it.
I almost hope so, to be honest. I think it'd be kind of hilarious. I always get explosions via Twitter and text messages. Why not have it just a section full of 150 strangers?
There you go. Why not? That would maybe we'll get you on Fox Sports Detroit too, and or Murph can spot you from in between the in the glass down there. But yes, Bertuzzi did score last night. It was kind of an interesting goal, obviously. But guys, obviously the story of this week. It's March Madness, baby. There's basketball going on. There, you know, we got all the hoops tournament, all the craziness going on around there. We got a little craziness in with the Red Wings. with Brian Rafalski starts it off on, I guess it was Friday night with the goal with 0.3 seconds to go to send that one to overtime, salvaging a point for the Wings in Edmonton, which it's sad to say that they had to salvage a point against the worst team in the NHL. But, and then Henrik Zetterberg picks up the slack on Saturday night there and a 3-3 game in overtime with 0.3 seconds left. Zetterberg backhands one past Luongo to give the Wings a win in Vancouver. Take 5 of 6 points on this Western swing. But I start with this, guys. It was crazy. Those two goals. I mean, I was watching them on Twitter when it happened and just people's reactions. It was like unbelievable. Just the craziness and shouting. And there was a lot of just random letter typing. So my question to you and Kyle, I'll start with you. When you look at those two goals, which one did you find yourself getting a little more excited about? Which one was the one that really, really got you going?
Well, I think both of them kind of generated some kind of just very loud scream and just all kinds of tribal noises I didn't know I could make. But for me, the Zetterberg one was more, I savored that one a little more because Ken Daniels, about 20 seconds to go in overtime, he's asked the question, are we going to see any more late game heroics? And then you got Filppula, who has the puck, and he was just kind of aimlessly skating towards the blue line, and I was yelling
at
him. I didn't know what he was doing.
He's going, Phil, why are you skating back to center ice? No.
Yeah, but then he cycles it back to Zetterberg, and, you know, that's the game. So it's pretty pumped about that. But, I mean, you know, if they're gonna keep waiting until the last second, you know, if my heart can handle it, I'd like to see it.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it was I was actually sitting there kind of thinking through what I was going to write about another shootout loss when he put it in, and it kind of surprised me. It just caught me by surprise. And I think all I did was I did the single clap, you know, it's like, yeah. And my girlfriend just kind of looked at me on the couch. I was like, whatever, you know, and I think she understands it. And it was funny because I actually, for my birthday, she got me a Zetterberg jersey. And then when she saw that it was Zetterberg, she's like, oh, you have his jersey and everything. Yes, you know, it was one of those moments. It was fabulous, and I was pretty excited. You know, you gotta love Hank getting the winner, especially after kind of went through a little bit of a rough patch. He's been taking a little flack, but playing some good hockey. So George, you sound like you have some opinions there on that winner from the game against Vancouver. Which one was which one stopped your heart a little quicker?
It's scary when Jimmy Howard's saying that it's bad for his heart that these guys are scoring so late, you know. But, no, it was the Zetterberg goal. I mean, just because I'm going, oh, God, not another shootout, because the Wings are just so terrible in the shootouts. And just, I just laughed. I burst out laughing. I couldn't believe it, but I was just so, I was thrilled. I was happy. The Wings, now, you know, it's not just the shootout record. It's like every game that's on TSN, Sportsnet, or whatever, and any sort of national broadcaster, but especially in Canada, they tend to bomb. I was there for the fiasco that the Wings had against Vancouver, you know, after the Olympic break, and I wanted my money back because they just played so terribly and handed it to them. So to me, this was personal. This was a little revenge. So this was bigger. And it was a win.
Mm-hmm.
You know, instead of, you know, I mean, Rafalski's goal was awesome, but it salvaged a point. And this one just, it capped off the road trip perfectly.
It did. And that's a great point, too, the Rafalski goal obviously sent that game to overtime and salvaged a point in a place that I think we kind of all felt we should have. Probably come away with more than that single point playing the worst in the league, Edmonton Oilers. But Petrella, I kick it over to you now, and I'll throw in the third one. Which goal was more exciting? Was it the Rafalski goal? Was it Zetterberg, or was it old Todd Bertuzzi with the pot and one in the crease there?
Well, for me, you know which one got me more busier for the evening. But no, I think I'll go against the grain just for argument's sake, because you can't really argue with Zetterberg's goal, but I guess Rafalski's with that little time left to force overtime was important, because squeaking out with no points in Edmonton would have been a disaster by any sort of stretch of the imagination. So I think that saving that one point was huge, and although getting the second point last night was huge, and considering we probably wouldn't have gotten it if we got to the shootout, which I'm sure we'll get to in a minute, but I'd go with Rafalski's goal simply because it saved us the complete and total embarrassment of Edmonton.
Right. Right. I'm going with Rafalski all two guys, and mine's more for kind of like a ha-ha reason, but I don't know if anybody noticed there. I was watching it. Ken Daniels, first of all, went absolutely nuts, and I caught the CBC broadcast of the game against Vancouver, so I didn't get to hear Ken and Murph, but I'm sure he went crazy during that one too. But they scored that goal in Edmonton, and as soon as the puck went in, all of a sudden all the Edmonton fans are still cheering, and the goal horn starts going off, and it was just kind of like a womp womp moment for for Edmonton. Like that team, they just all the bad things just seemed to happen, and then Twitter exploded. It was like, oh, like LOL Oilers, I can't believe the Oilers blew it again. This poor kid Dubnyk or whatever, who hadn't won a game coming into that point, and he puts it, he basically coughs it up with the last 0.3 seconds. I thought it was kind of ironic, but I do agree, Michael. It's that we needed that point. That point is one that the Wings felt good about. They said they felt good about it. Obviously, they didn't feel good about leaving one on the table as well, though. But I do like beating Vancouver, too. And so yeah. Living 3 hours south of Vancouver, it's a great team. I hear all about them all the time. The only thing that would have been more fitting is if, like, Michael Samuelson would have thrown a pass and gotten picked off at the slot there. And then the Wings buried it. But, unfortunately for the Canucks fans, Samuelson out 2 to 3 weeks with an injury, so he's having a hell of a season, that's for sure. He's putting some points up on the board for them, and I do believe, George, correct me if I'm wrong, Samuelson actually has more goals this year than anybody on the Wings roster, is that correct? I think it is. I think he's at 30.
Yeah, he's at 32, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But he came out there, he sold, when a guy who decides to pick his house as close to Andreas Blias as possible, because both guys are celebrating the fact that they've inked long-term deals with the Wings right after the lockout. He sells his house and he just says, I'm going to go out there and play with the Sedins. He decided that his Red Wings career was over and he was going to go on to bigger and better things, and I guess good for him, except against us.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I give crap about him on Twitter all the time, and I just like to trash talk a little bit. But hey, you gotta feel good. The guy's playing well. Like it's good to see him benefit from it. Vancouver's a team that makes me wonder though sometimes. Go ahead, George.
Well, he's so inconsistent from year to year that next year they're gonna learn about Samuelson's giveaways and the fact that he and Todd Bertuzzi share the same. They can score 5 goals in a row, and then all of a sudden they don't want to shoot the puck for 20 games thing. So they'll find Samuelson's dark side. I think there will be a moment when the honeymoon is over. But,
oh, I'm sure. Once they get
I think they know. He already went, earlier this season, he went, 12, 15 games without a goal. And I was talking to a blogger I know out in Vancouver, and he's – it drives him crazy, just his shot selection and just, how he's got to make that extra move with the blue line. So, he's got 30, so, good for him, but I don't miss him.
His blue line excellence, that was my thing. His excellence on the blue line, the giveaways, I don't miss that. I'm happy.
Bertuzzi back checks. That makes me happy.
He also throws the blind spinorama pass. God, man. And we'll
I know, but he at least he shows up for most games and he's working hard when he won't shoot the puck to save his life, And Samuelson would just kind of disappear for a couple. So,
right.
But going back to the Canucks being the anointed team, as you're suggesting, Canada's great white hope or whatever.
they are though. That's exactly what it is. And I don't know. It just seems like every year we get this with the Canucks. It is that Luongo is the man. And first of all, I'm not completely sold on Roberto Luongo. Do I think he's a good goalie?
Ditto.
I just don't see him as – who he reminds me of? He reminds me of, as he gets older, I feel like he's going to be a Marty Turco. I feel like they're going down that same route here and that he makes the saves. He's not quite as competent with the puck handling side as Turco was, and I use that competency word loosely, especially recently with watching Turco play, but you just feel like Turco was anointed when he came in, and he had led Michigan to a national championship. This guy was supposed to be a world beater. And now Luongo takes Canada to the gold medal, and it's like that's like the first thing I can remember him actually accomplishing with a team. Like, I don't see him as being a Stanley Cup backstop for the Canucks. I don't know that they win it with him, but maybe that's just me being too close to the subject matter out here. But personally,
if you go further back, I mean, he's almost like a Cujo goaltender in that he's always thrived under the really heavy workload, but.
Yeah.
You know, eventually he wears out.
Yeah.
And eventually, despite his, God, what wonderful theatrics by St. Lou to flop and flail in the crease last night, by the way. You know, eventually that grates on the refs. And somebody like Bertuzzi gets in front and scores a mucky goal, and all of a sudden things change because, he's the Canucks captain. They really rely on him, over-rely on him, and you just, it was like in all his playoff runs with Vancouver thus far, he ends up giving up a weird squeaker, and that costs him a series.
I'll tell you what, sorry about that, Chris.
Go ahead, dude, go.
I'm thinking the turning point for me, I'll never argue that he's not a great goaltender, because he is. I mean, we have yet to see him do something in the playoffs that's of any substance, but he is one of the best on the planet, usually. But what happened a couple weeks ago, maybe even this last week, I read something about him making suggestions that it was the offense's fault for his kind of lowly month. And I was like, ooh, that's kind of dangerous. I don't really see a reliable goaltender making excuses for anyone but himself. And it was kind of like, that doesn't sit so well. And I don't like where this is going so much. If I were Vancouver, I'd be a little... I try to put a muzzle on that real quick because, he has enough to answer for himself, especially with the collapses in the postseason. He doesn't need to be calling anyone else out, even though as a captain, that's sort of kind of his role a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it's fair to say, if they were scoring a little bit more consistently, I wouldn't be letting in 5 goals in 2 periods. I'm not sure I buy that or where he's going with it. So it kind of rubbed me the wrong way.
Right. No, and I mean... Go ahead, George.
That's the atmosphere out in Vancouver. I was reading through the press, whether it was Vigneault or Luongo or whomever, Shane O'Brien. There was a lot of finger pointing right away, and a very easy willingness to say, well, so and so didn't do his job, and so and so wasn't good enough, it's acrid in there. And
did anyone notice last night how fast he hightailed his ass off the ice? Like, he didn't even, I don't think he even stuck around to see if they were going to review it. He was gone. The camera was on him and he was halfway down the tunnel and they were still kind of they were still showing the replay to us, at least at home, like, holy shit, did they get in on time?
Right.
But meanwhile, I think he knew. He was like, oh, to hell with this. I'm out of here.
The dynamic in Vancouver. And let me throw this at that. If Vancouver was an Eastern Conference team, I think that they would be absolutely phenomenal. Here's the thing, and that's like the only way I can see them ever winning with the current structure that they have. It's the only way I see them winning a cup. If you watch them play, they remind me of kind of like a faster, less kind of graceful. Reminder of the early of like the late 90 Wings with the perfect game, the beautiful game. It's all like tape to tape passes, and that's what they don't like grind and get gritty in front of the net. You never really see that. Like, it's always like who can make like the best looking pass and who can set them up for the one timer. Yeah, they got a couple last night. They got the one on the screen or whatnot on Howard, but I'm telling, like, they don't slam home the rebounds. They don't like crash the crease hard. They don't have like the Holmstrom or the Bertuzzi or whoever kind of mentality. And if they're not scoring big numbers, they get, and with, like you guys were saying, with a goaltender like Luongo who can pitch a shutout or can give up 6 in a game, without that kind of steady goaltending, I don't ever see them really just making all that damage that they're supposed to be doing in the West. Now in the East, maybe, you look at a team like Washington who's a little bit similar, but Washington has a grinding kind of game down low too, if you want to, at some point. I don't see Vancouver with that. I see that they get most of their scoring from the Sedins and what's his face out there, but I don't know.
They've got Kessler and Burrows who definitely go to the front of the net, but they get frustrated real easy and start taking stupid penalties.
Oh yeah, and then Kessler, and that's like the thing. Like, everybody, God, Real American Hero Ryan Kessler.
If, you know, North American hockey this season, you know, Selke winner, blah, 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 blah.
Right. But, I mean, Kessler had a golden chance in overtime against the Wings at, on in the slot. And, I mean, the guy puts a Michael Samuelson special off the top of the glass behind the net. It's like, where's the finish? I mean, maybe he'll get it. I think Kessler's a great player. But, guys, let's we've been harping on Vancouver here. I'm going to get some nice emails and some tweets from people about this one that I know up there. But let's take a look, too. It was, you know, we've talked about the game-winning goals. Obviously, the road trip, a very strange trip in terms of the Wings go to Calgary, play a great game against Calgary. They get the win, and then they have 3 days off, and they're in, I believe it was Kelowna, and just kind of taking 3 days. They took a day and relaxed at the resort town. They did some nice work, though, getting some food donations, having some open practices. But during a three-day break, and then they go to Edmonton, and they came out flat. Not the best performance from them. They got down real early, and then out to Vancouver. I mentioned a couple times they took 5 or 6 points.
And they came out flat against Vancouver.
And they did. And that seems, I think more times than not, George, and we'll start with this. When you look at this entire trip, I think we've seen with this team more than anything is that when we hear always they need to come out with some jump. They need to get started on time. I think that's not the norm anymore. The norm is for them to come out a little fight. They don't get revved up in the first period. I mean, and would you agree that it's kind of at that point that we just need to embrace the fact that this is not a great starting team at this point?
Yes, because I think they're still trapped in a bit of an identity crisis, which is good. And I'm not going to get into this big time and get all sports psychology crappy on you, but I think that this team still comes out and plays a passive dump and chase game to start before remembering that with everybody on board, they are in fact a puck possession team, and a puck possession team trying to play dump and chase hockey and trap equals a puck possession team turning while watching the opposition dump the puck in behind them and start cycling the puck out front for good scoring chances.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we talked about this at the beginning of the year, and Petrella, I know I've talked to you at ad nauseum about this, that it just seemed like when all the injuries were happening, and to George's point, the pucks were just, I hated watching Advocator and Miller out there throwing pucks deep and chase them. It was just like a turnover. It was just a turnover, and we were going the other way. And, you know, like George was pointed out, it looks like that they're starting, once they get through that first 10 minutes, or they've get scored on a couple times, they start
to... Oh, wait, we're the Red Wings. We're
right.
Healthy. We can do this.
Right.
You know, they dig the hole.
Right, and it's, you know, but Petrella, I mean, what do you think at this point? Like, is that enough to get it done right now for this team? Or are they going to be able to ride that all the way to an 8 or 7 or a 6 spot in the playoffs?
No, because first of all, it's not even that the Wings are playing bad, because they're certainly turning it up since the Olympic break. No one can dispute that. But everyone else is winning too.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like they can just kind of coast by and then take a point from Edmonton and, you know, show up at the 15-minute mark of the first period or sometimes the second period. But they're going to need to start on time. I hate that term, too. I'm with you there. That's retarded. But they need to start when the puck drops, and they haven't been. And furthermore, to your point, the dump and chase, I was really close to saying I'll donate $100 to H2H if the dump and chase works once.
Right.
And I'm hesitant to do it because then it will. but the fact is, it's, I've said it for the longest time, it's the lowest common denominator in hockey. That's what you do when you're teaching kids how to skate and to enter the zone without being offsides. And mm-hmm. It's not an NHL thing. And I think I even got the feeling, I can't remember which game it was. It might've been against Calgary. Somebody dumped it in and Calgary kind of looked at him like, really? Like, that's the play
right.
You're going with? And, like, they skidded to the corner and just got it and then transitioned and they were right back up the ice in Detroit's zone. And I was like, see, even they think that's stupid.
Yeah, it's, you know, I personally, it makes me nervous when the guys are going to the corner, when you get Franzen down in the corner there. I'm just waiting for the next injury and knock on wood that it doesn't happen. But, you know, Kyle, what do you think about it? Is this the system? Are they going to figure it out in enough time to get those wins that are necessary? Or, I mean, I feel like we're playing with fire, don't you?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think they are kind of figuring it out. It seems like they either go up 2-0 or down 2-0, like, immediately into a game. That's just, you know, it's just a formula that they're following. But, I don't know. I mean, yesterday, I didn't see, I mean, they went down 2-0, but I wasn't unhappy with their effort, because they had 17 shots in the first period, but, I mean, I didn't know that until I looked it up, but,
That was those, you know, generous Vancouver scorekeepers. They want to give Luongo some more saves out there, but
I mean, they were counting the lose, not the shots.
Yeah, Jesus.
You'd be surprised. They were really, really stingy with the giveaways and takeaways. Yes, there are always bad stats crews, and I'm sure that they give as many shots as possible. But the Wings did rip off a good couple.
And it seems like, George, when we get into some of these games, though, where we get a lot of shots, I tend to, my second look, you know, I'm like, wow, look at all those shots. And then my second look is at scoring chances. And I didn't see the numbers from the Vancouver game in that period, but
they weren't fantastic.
Right.
It was a lot of perimeter stuff. And, I mean, they fired 28 shots either wide of the net or into Canucks players. So it was 81 attempted shots.
Well, you know, and to their credit, though, it's hard to not hit a player as fat as Kyle Wellwood out there. I mean, just throwing it out there for fun.
Where's your sound effects, man?
Rim shot. I meant to like load them up here. Didn't actually get to it, but I'll dig around while we're talking about this. But, you know, like we said, I'm pumped about this trip. And here, if you would have said to me 5 of 6 points on this Canada swing, I would have been like, yes, we'll take it. Let's go. You know, Petrelli, you bring up a great point. The problem is Calgary's still winning. San Jose did us no favors this week by losing to Calgary. Yeah, like, it's becoming more and more apparent the Wings are going to have to do this themselves. They're in position to do it themselves. I think everybody's getting a little caught up in looking behind right now, though. There is plenty. The Wings are now within striking distance, and I know there's a couple games in hand, but LA, like, with their win, Nashville is now up to fifth in the West, and we still, we got the game against them coming up on Friday where we can do some damage. They're, LA, Colorado have some games in hand on us. That's fine, but if one of those teams slips up, the Wings are right there to strike and get them too. So I think that at the end of the day, yes, the points, we need the points. We need to just get as many points as we can. I don't, you know, just hoard them, whatever we need to do. But I think we're getting a little caught up in looking behind at Calgary and just kind of like, oh, they're going crazy, they're winning. I don't know. I cannot believe that Calgary is gonna run out their schedule on a huge streak. They very well might. Who knows? At this point, I'm not sure. But
the problem is Detroit won't either. And I'd love it if, you know, here's the thing. Phoenix, I read this morning, is within 2 points of like the conference lead. I don't know if that's accurate, but like, can you imagine going on a 9-game tear? Like, if the Red Wings did that, this would be completely for naught, this conversation. Yeah. But they're incapable of doing that, it seems. I mean, they can't get past 3 in a row this year, but imagine winning 8 in a row. This conversation is completely useless. They'd be sitting pretty. They wouldn't have to scoreboard watch, at least not as much, anyway, for the same reasons. But yeah, the Eastern Conference is clearly not going to do any favors for anyone in the West.
Right.
Except for Calgary and Nashville. And, I think you're right. We're looking behind us too much. We certainly can catch up with the teams above us, but they're going to have to start losing for that to happen, and Detroit's going to have to stop losing. Mm-hmm. And neither of those things have happened for any stretch longer than a day or two.
Right. Right.
If it makes you feel any better, it's the Flames that keep on talking about the Red Wings and how they're watching the Red Wings and watching the Red Wings, and they have to catch up. And, you know, I mean, the Wings' endless positivity and confidence, and we're doing all the right things, we're playing well, we're gonna be okay, can really grate on you when the results aren't happening. But when you focus on yourself and other people are starting to worry about you instead,
yeah,
that's good.
Yeah, absolutely. Speaking of focusing on themselves, let's talk a little bit about let's talk about that lineup that the Wings trotted out there last night. That was obviously, you know, Mr. Underrated Patrick Eaves, and he actually got a lot of love with the Detroit press this week on the hustle and the effort and the grit that he's showing on the penalty kill. And I think, guys, he's one of the big reasons why the kill has been so good as of recently. They've been
lights out phenomenal. And you remember how bad that penalty kill was last year, and especially
it was prompted by the U.S. Border Patrol last year.
Whoa! God, now I need the rim shot sound effect. I don't have anything.
Not even a political statement. I just thought it was hilarious.
And it was funny, George. I appreciate that humor for sure.
In ring sponsor, and you just go, oh, geez, now here it comes. the Canadian First Nations people are going to come over with the cheap smokes from Walpole Island, and there we go.
Oh man, we are we're not politically correct here at all. We never claim.
Well, that's what you have to worry about in Michigan. You know, it's cheap booze and smokes.
That should be paramount on everyone's mind now.
It is. That's what I worry about. I'm totally worried about it. But the cheap booze, for hell yeah, dude.
We got the Canadian Club factory right across the Detroit River for a reason.
There it is. There it is. Old Al Capone, man, back with the Purple Gang and whatnot. But
anyway. But seriously, no, about the penalty kill and about Patrick Eves, yes, they've completely turned it around. And to play without Eves, to sit Lebda on the bench for the entire – he didn't
whole
get a shift.
The
whole game. You know, Jonathan Erickson ended up playing 16 minutes and played real well on defense and sometimes at forward. Meech and Draper and Helm were playing great. Miller was getting double shifted. You know, they got the job done defensively, and to get it done without Eves, who's just been an absolute star – you know,
right.
The Wings are going to try. I'm sure that the Wings are, you know, and Miller, too. I mean, Miller came in as this fourth-line plugger, and for the first half of the season, that's all he was. And now you kind of look at him and you're going, you know, we might really have a third-liner out of this kid.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've been on his horse all year, George. I love him.
Miller and Eves, the Wings are going to sign those kids to long-term deals and just wait for them to blossom.
And
it's going to happen.
Oh, it will. I agree. I still think, and I've said this, and people have laughed at me, I think Drew Miller could be one of the best steals of Ken Holland's career. Because a guy like that does not just – I mean, Tampa Bay waived him. Like, are you kidding me? Like, I get that he struggled. But this guy, you know, he's a solid player. He's got the pedigree, and the system change apparently worked for him because I –
yeah, there's that –
go ahead.
I was just sorry to cut you off. I was going to say that there's something to be said about where you feel comfortable, and that not just in the system, but also in a city. And obviously, he's a Michigan guy, sort of. So I think it just clicked when he got here. And sometimes that just it takes the right atmosphere. I mean, no, I don't have to tell this to any of you guys. Everyone knows that. I mean, sometimes it just clicks, and the right combination of things happen. And that's what happened with Drew Miller in Detroit. He's already bested. Well, I mean, we're 71 games in now, but for a while there, it was something like the 40th or 50th game of the season. He'd already bested his career numbers, and it just took the right fit. And I'm glad he found it here because he fits in really well. He's doing really well. And I like George, hope they re-sign him to some sort of lengthy deal.
Of course. Kyle, what do you think, man?
Well, first off, I was just kind of looking up numbers for a second. Regarding the penalty kill, this is something I noticed. Like last year, it seemed like if your name wasn't like Holmstrom or Yuri Hudler, you were killing penalties. And this year, they really alternate. Eves and Helm is the first unit, and Miller and either Filppula or Cleary on the second. And even Zetterberg and Datsyuk aren't killing penalties a lot this year, and especially recently. And you got Dougie Janik here logging more PK time than both Zetterberg and Datsyuk.
Rob Disher's
really?
Favorite, Doug Janik. There he is.
Yeah.
I think
that's part of why it's doing so well. Maybe, you know, just focusing a few players on doing that job and doing it well as opposed to just doing it by committee. And but I guess, yeah, secondly, I'm a huge fan of both Miller and Eves. Eves especially, like when they signed him. You know, I mean, obviously, Bertuzzi and Williams were the, well, I mean, quote-unquote big signings, just the ones that were supposed to make a bigger impact. But Eves was, you know, he's a former first-round pick and former 20-goal scorer, so I was really excited to see what he can do, and I'm really glad that he's kind of flourishing under being able to take advantage of his two-way game and getting the timely goal for the team.
I know the comparison's getting tired between Eves and Cleary because of the situations under which they both became Red Wings. But I think it's almost storybook how similar they are because, like Kyle just said, he's a former first-round pick, so it was Cleary. They were supposed to be offensive superstars. They kind of sort of weren't. And now when they're willing to dive in front of pucks and play the penalty kill and block shots and, you know, grind out the third and sometimes fourth lines and shut up about it, they become fantastic role players. And that's exactly what Cleary did, and that's exactly what Eaves has done this year.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think personally Cleary needs
things.
Go ahead, George.
Oh, no, sorry. Two things. One, the Wings do a great job of bringing players in and saying players in complimentary roles and saying, do what you do, do it well. We want to reward you for being a player who can play 10 minutes of really solid defensive hockey. We think that's just as important as the Zetterbergs and Dotsers. Jim Neal has said that to me. They think that having a player who can play 10 to 12 minutes of solid defensive hockey and kill penalties is just as important because you need that as your foundation. And two, lost my point. Oh, just sitting up in Grand Marais, Michigan last summer reading that the Bruins had bought out Eaves, and I just was salivating and saying on the blog, wouldn't it be great if ... and they nailed him, and it was an absolutely superb move. And
yep.
At worst, he doesn't become Dan Cleary. At worst, he becomes Doug Brown, another player who wore 17,
yeah.
was
mm-hmm.
speedy,
yeah.
killed penalties, was invaluable, even though he didn't put up a lot of points.
Mm-hmm.
So
I love Doug Brown.
Thinking,
I wouldn't,
you know.
And
we're going to say about Cleary.
I think I agree. Here's the thing with Cleary, though, man. If anybody's had an identity crisis this year, I look at Dan Cleary as one of the guys that really, there was a point made last week on the show and I think it was Matt Saylor that made it, that said, look, Cleary he rises and falls with Henrik Zetterberg. If Zetterberg's in a lull, it seems like Cleary's in a lull. When Zetterberg's playing well, it seems like Cleary's playing well. I feel like Dan Cleary is a guy that you look at who, like you said, Petrella, the similarities to the Eaves situation are uncanny. Like, you can't deny them. But all of a sudden, Cleary got his money, and it seems like he wants to be more of a finesse kind of goal scorer. And I really question that logic. And maybe that's just me from where I sit. But to me, Dan Cleary made that money. He got that money by being kind of the mucky goal scorer force that down in front of the net with some nice hands, you know. I mean, it was kind of an all-around thing, whereas it seems like now he's trying to be more of like a goal scorer as a goal scorer by kind of picking his moments and putting shots away. And I don't know. I wish he would kind of go back to what he was. And maybe, like I said, maybe it's me. I don't know. What do you guys think about that?
I think you're definitely...
Sorry, go ahead, Kyle.
All right. I think that's definitely right on. I've kind of been trying to watch him a little more closely lately, and he tries to handle the puck way too much. I think before he was really, you know, get it to Zetterberg and get to the net. And there's, I think, one point in the Edmonton game he was just behind the net, and you know, I just literally said out loud, just like, "What are you doing?" He's just, mm-hmm. you know, going around in circles, and he's gifted offensively, but he just doesn't have the ability to really do that stuff like his line mates can. So I think he does need to, you know, he needs to get in front of the net, or, you know, he's going to find himself on, you know, maybe on the bottom six next year.
Hey, it's a bold statement, but, you know, I agree with that. I think that, like you were saying, like he's got to get back to what he's good at. And Petrella, I'll kick it to you, because I know you were chiming in.
Well, I think I get the feeling a little bit to echo Saylor's statement from last week and what you guys have already talked about, like that I think he felt the need to be more of that player that he was drafted to be when all of these injuries happened. Like, and maybe I'm way off, maybe that's just me making things up, but I almost get the feeling like he's kind of like, uh-oh, the boys need me to score goals instead of doing what it is that earned me that contract.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he's not thinking about it like that, but that's the way we're talking about it.
Right.
So maybe he felt it like that. I mean, is there any credence to that, you think? That maybe
I agree with you.
Yeah.
I think it's he knows he can score goals, or at least could at a certain level. And I feel like, uh-oh, Zetterberg's hurt, Franzen's hurt forever, Holmstrom's hurt, Datsyuk's missing a game or two here, and they, you know, who else are you going to turn to? Obviously, it's not Darren Helm. As much as I love that kid, he's not going to score 30 goals in his career ever. So I feel like Danny Cleary was almost the guy who said, hey, I can do this, I've done it before, and he's trying to do too much, and he's forgetting what it is that he's really, really, really good at.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I'll go with a third statement here. I think that of the players who suffered the not winning the Stanley Cup hangover, played really well. In Cleary's case, played through injuries and expected too much of themselves and kind of clenched up from it. Erickson and Cleary.
Mm-hmm.
I think they both have suffered from really expecting that they were going to show up in playoff form and that they had to do that mm-hmm. to succeed. And between that and you know, Cleary most definitely thinking I've got to play a different role. I can't just muck and grind.
Mm-hmm.
That pretty much explains it. It's not the talent isn't there. It's not that he's lost his drive now that he's got the money. It's that he's putting too much pressure on himself, and he's putting too much pressure on himself to be a player that he isn't.
Right. And that's the thing. Like, Dan Cleary, he's always got a spot in my heart. I love him. I'd like to see him around for a long, long, long time with the Wings. And, you know, he is a benefit to have out on the ice. I heard he was out last night. I was like, damn, you know, like, I like Dan Cleary on the ice. I think that, you know, like you guys are saying, he's just going through a little bit of an identity crisis. I think that it's a microcosm of the team as a whole kind of trying to find their identity. But to me, the thing that I want to see, the quintessential Dan Cleary goal is the one that he scored in Game 7 against Anaheim last year in the playoffs. Like, I love watching Cleary put in an ugly goal and celebrate from his ass. Like, that's Dan Cleary to me. That is what I'm looking for out of him. And I think he'll figure it out once they get some more games, if they can, this last stretch, if he's good to go and he's healthy and they've got everybody out there. I think he'll start to kind of refine that role that he's supposed to be in. And I think he has to, especially if they're going to keep rolling him out there with Zetterberg and Filppula. I think that at some point he's going to kind of be forced into realizing that, oh yeah, you know, I've got two really skilled guys out here with me. Where do I need to be? I need to be in front of the net. I need to be grinding it out. I need to be being physical and making plays and disrupting. So, you know, I'd love to see Cleary succeed, but we talked about, we've talked about looking inwards at the Wings and kind of the identity crisis and the types of players that they're bringing in to fill roles. I don't know if you can fill a role for this. I don't know what it is. This season, you just mentioned the word shootout, and it is a total yes. It is a failure. There you go, Petrella. So Mike Petrella came to me before the show, guys, and said, we need to talk about shootout incompetence. I said, I'm more than happy to. We'll throw it in there. So I'm going to take the host reins here for a minute and just hand them to you, Mr. Petrella. Tee us up, dude. Talk to us about this shootout incompetence, my friend.
Big shoes to fill. well, I think somebody was complaining. I don't remember where it was. Well, I do remember. I just don't want to call him out on it. But it was somebody was talking about, we got to get Howard out of there and put Osgood in when it's time for a shootout. And that's ridiculous on a lot of levels. First of all, Jimmy Howard's the guy, free and clear. We all know that. He's no good in shootouts, but his numbers are better than Osgood's this year in terms of what percentage of shots he stops. But even if you don't want to go through just this year, it's an issue that the whole team is failing this year. I mean, the goaltending is way down, save percentage included. Last year they were 6-4 in shootouts, which isn't fantastic, but they were stopping somewhere around 70% of the shots they faced, and they was mostly Osgood. This year they are 4-9, and Jimmy Howard leads the team of the two with 61% and Osgood stopping 50%, and those are horrid numbers. But on the other end, nobody can score either. So I hate to say that one is tied to the other, because that's Roberto Luongo-esque, but I mean, what do you think the bigger problem is? Thank you. You need both. You need somebody to stop those shots, and you need someone to put those shots in. I don't know which one is more dire, because 61% of the shots you face being stopped that's horrendous for any level at any spot of the game. So that's clearly failing. But if a few goals went in the other direction, it wouldn't matter as much that he's, you know, letting in every third shot. So what do you guys think is the more important thing? Do we need better shooters? Do we need better goaltending? Or is one tied to the other?
Yeah.
See all of the above.
Okay. First off, Howard bites on Deeks. Howard bites on Deeks all the time. I wanted to hit him, and I hate to say this, after the third goal against Edmonton, where he came out of the net and he was 5 feet to the right, and Peckham or whoever it was got to absolutely pick the corner, top shelf, and you know, Howard was like, it was a great shot, my glove was there. No, it wasn't. Your whole body wasn't there. You know, but, and he bites on Deeks. When guys do the pump fake or guys kick out a leg, he starts doing the poke check thing. And when Jimmy Howard poke checks, he doesn't poke check with his stick. He poke checks with his entire body.
Yeah.
He sort of flattens out. So, you know, yes, Howard needs some remedial shootout work there. But, I mean, you know, when you watch Zetterberg and Datsyuk clench up on the shootout, and Williams use the same old move, and Bertuzzi skate in on occasion and use the same old move, the blame, there's more than enough to go around, and clearly the team, I don't know what they need to do other than hold a seance and call a witch doctor, but because the talent's there in every aspect. But they aren't getting it done, and it's all about results.
Do you get the feeling that it's the same kind of thing that happened with the penalty kill last year? Like we obviously have the talent.
It's gotten to the point where it's just going to be an issue for the remainder of the season,
and then next year it won't.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, that's the kind of feeling I had. It's like the penalty kill was so bad, but it was like I could. Tell you why last year, and you know the personnel is no different this year for the most part anyway, and it's just kind of everything sort of kind of came together and fixed itself. I'm sure it didn't fix itself. I'm sure there was a lot of work going into it, but I get the feeling like this year the issue is shootouts, and it's sad that it's a part of our game, obviously, but it would be much less sad if the Wings were better at it.
Yeah.
Let me.
And nobody wants to hang Brad McCrimmon anymore because the penalty kill is doing so much better, you know, and. But the shootout, yeah, I think that that eventually the coaching staff gets to a point where with 20 games left in the season, they just kind of throw up their hands and go, you know, eh.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just sort of, it's like I was reading something about the No Child Left Behind Act before this, which has nothing to do with nothing. getting back into the teacher mindset, from my very, very, very brief career as a teacher, there are times when just you try and tweak your lesson plan and you want to make this point and you try and drive it home. You spend hours and hours revising it, and then you go through each class period and you try to do it a different way. And, you know, by your third or fourth class period at the same class, you're just going, oh, my God, I have screwed this up as many ways as it can be screwed up. It's not going to happen. I need to give up and move on. So.
Now, here's my thing, dude. Let me put out this. Yes, Petrella, I think that both ends of the ice are at this point in the shootout, it's a mess, like we've all said. What I don't understand is it's been so bad for the Wings this year, and we know it's bad, and we know that, you know, I mean, let's take Henrik Zetterberg, for example. The guy... I put a bet out to you that said, like, hey, $5 if he goes glove side or blocker side before even deking, because that seems like what he's been doing this year. But with a team this bad in the shootout, if I'm Babcock, I'm just putting out all of, I'm saying, like, pull out your Mike Ribeiro shit, man. Just go out on the ice and get fucking crazy, dude. And just, because the one shootout that we hung around in recently that comes to mind is that one against Chicago where Datsyuk came in and did kind of like the dipsy do alley-oop over Niemi, and it was the same one where Bertuzzi came in and threw on the brakes and went spinorama and scored. Because guess what? Even if we lose, at least I'm entertained. At least I'm not watching them do the same old crap over and over again. I don't care. Dan Cleary, you know, go out and like take a full head of steam at the net and try to run it through with your head. I don't care. If you're going to lose in the shootout, which we've done, like you said, we've lost nine shootouts.
Nine times. Yeah.
Good Lord, at least make it entertaining, you know? And I say that only half joking. Like, make it entertaining for us because...
Thomas Holmstrom breakaway.
Done! That would be...
all I'm saying.
Like, even if people would be like, what? You know, that's fine. I'm cool with it, you know? Put Holmstrom out there. Let him
you know...
Go for it, yeah.
The other night during the shootout, my fiance looks at me and she goes, why don't they put Rafalski out? And I kind of giggled because I'm like, that's just ridiculous. But then she goes, well, he's the one who's scoring. And I'm like, well, I suppose there's something to that, and no one else seems to be doing it in the shootout. So, you know, maybe you're right. Maybe you just throw the most ridiculous crap.
John Eriksson, but big.
We don't even need to go that far. It's like, you know, everyone talks about just like the one guy that comes to mind when you talk about scoring at will, and especially since he's been back, you know, he's showing like he's got ridiculous hands. Why is Franzen never shooting in the shootout? You know, like, he's got great hands, just like ridiculously underrated. He's been, you know, more and more confidence lately, just being able to do stuff like in the offensive zone. And you mean Zetterberg, he's pretty much a lost cause. It looks like he's out of the top three now. You know, Williams, he's good but predictable. But if we're just talking about shaking it up, I'd like to see, you know, Datsyuk, because his percentages are still pretty good, even though he hasn't scored lately. Bertuzzi, just because, I mean, he'll either fall over or do something ridiculous. And then Franzen, because he's got the hands and he's got the reach to get a goalie moving. So that's what I'd like to see.
And Franzen can just, I mean, he powers shots through goalies. It amazes me that the way he just sort of flicks the puck off his stick in such a way that, especially with that heel curve, 99% of us, the puck would just go rolling off into the corner. And it goes through guys. And that's what you want in the shootout, you know, because you aren't going to get a second chance. Try and plow it through them, if that made any sense. I don't care, but.
No, it makes sense. And I get the feeling like even Zetterberg, who is pretty weak this year on the shootout, I get the feeling that he and Franzen are being saved for like those quote-unquote extra innings ones. And I don't know that that's a good strategy. Well, clearly it isn't a good strategy because they're not winning these things. But when it comes down to going 1-1, would I rather have a guy like Franzen or a guy like Dan Cleary? And the answer is Franzen. But I would rather not get to that point, too. So, you know, I see both sides of that argument. I have no idea what I would do in that situation, except like Kyle says, throw my best shooters out there and make them do what we all know they can do. How'd I do, Chris?
No, you did. Yeah. You did fine.
That was awesome, dude. That was awesome. I might be out of a job now.
Coming for you, Hollis.
I know. I am. I might now be out of a job. We will see. I don't know what's gonna happen, but the big wigs that run this thing. Yeah, right.
Talk to corporate.
That's right. We'll talk to corporate. We'll work out a long-term deal, Petrella, as long as you promise to not hate Todd Bertuzzi constantly.
No deal.
Oh, no deal.
I want to state that the Red Wings are currently over North Dakota right now.
Oh.
And they're about 47 minutes out of Minneapolis.
There we go. Look at this timing. We are cruising along. They are going to be touching down here. We're going to get the show crammed in before they even touch down. I love it. I love it. Guys, though, crazy week. It's been a crazy week. This week, we got a bunch of games coming up. We return home finally. We're going to get some home games. We get three home games in before we head to Nashville for the Saturday night affair. But obviously, the big one. The big one on everybody's radar. I know I'm not talking about Monday against Pittsburgh. I'm talking about Friday at Joe Louis Arena. It is finally here. We talked about it at the beginning of the show. Herm to Hockey Town is upon us. I cannot wait. I am ready to be in Detroit hanging out with all of you guys and just having a good time. For those of you out there that are listening to the show and are interested, shoot myself an email, or you can go to herm2hockeytown.com. You can get all the details. We are pre-partying live from Hockey Town Cafe at 4 o'clock on Friday for the game, before the game, and then we're going to be doing the game. And I'm not sure what time is that start. Is it 7 or 7:30 start on Friday? I can't remember. Anyone? Somewhere between 7:30. Great. So we got plenty of time. Drink your Molsons, get yourself ready to go. That's what I will be doing. But it's gonna be a good time, guys. The pre-party's gonna be great. We got stuff going on all weekend. Obviously Thursday, a lot of people getting in. Saturday, there's gonna be some stuff going on. But it's finally upon us. If you guys still want to donate, talk to Mr. Michael Petrella, who's on the show right now. He's got all kinds of crazy donation schemes going on, and he is the master fundraiser for all of this. I tell you. It's going. How did we do last night, Petrov? How much money did we raise?
Last night was incredible. It was the single best game since we started doing this thing, which was nice because the night before was a shit show. But last night we earned $513, and
wow.
we're up to $2,059.86.
There you
go. Last night was incredible. I mean, there's so many cool. I mean, I shouldn't be surprised anymore by the creativity and generosity of Red Wings fans, but some of these things that people come up with are so damn funny that, you know, I had to count last night. I had to count how many times Datsukian was said and how many times Larry Murphy slurred, and it was all for the kids. And I'm totally happy paying attention to things like that if it means a dollar or two here and there. But I mean, last night, I honest to God, I wasn't able to watch much of the game so much as I was staring at the spreadsheet counting how many of these random things were happening.
That is awesome. Now, Larry Murphy, Murph, I love you. You're going to be the best replacement for Mickey Redmond someday ever, because here's what I thought of. And going back to that Game 7 goal, again, Dan Clary's Game 7 goal against Anaheim, and I always loved that call, listening to Ken Daniels, who is screaming his lungs out, and all Mickey Redmond can say is just, whoa, whoa. Like, that's all he could come up with. And then when Rafalski scored on Friday night, I was listening to Murph, and it was very reminiscent. It was like, whoa! You know, it's just, I was like, we have our replacement for someday. I love Murph, but man, I'd love, who doesn't want to party with Murphy, dude? Like, I do.
I think he was on his best behavior last night, too. Like, usually he does slur quite a bit. He only had three slurs last night.
He didn't have a hot dog before the game, the dog.
Yeah, that must be it. Yeah. He was still doing that random volume increase thing that he does, though. Right. Like, in the middle of a sentence, just, like, scream a word for some reason. with no real reason.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, Johan Franz into the corner, and then he keeps going. It gets incredible. I don't know where that comes from. I feel like he might have some sort of mild Tourette's.
Jerry Lewis thing going on.
Blazing!
Oh, man. I can tell you guys, like right now, guys, this party's going to be great. It's going to be this and more.
I'm afraid. This is going to be George's face plant. Like, Mr.
Well,
social
I'll have cameras.
Afraid of crowds. The guy with the freaking shrub under his chin. It's going to be real interesting. I'm going to get mistaken for a ZZ Top roadie, but it'll be good. I'm driving the drunk tank. That's all I know. I got a Chrysler Pacifica, and it's got three in the back,
ample
seat,
space.
One in the front, and people can squeeze in that little in the trunk at. You know, I've done that before.
Oh my!
It's a crossover. It's a trunk, but there's no lid to it. So.
I know what you're talking about. I just never heard that term.
That is good stuff. The trunk cat. She's got some junk cat in the trunk cat. I mean, it's gonna be great. So hey, you know what? We'll just put it out there. Hey, if Ken Daniels and Murph and Mick, you guys want to come party with us, you know where we'll be at. We the first round's on us. Come hang out with us. But Petrella, on a serious note, I do believe though that the tomorrow night's game against Pittsburgh, is that the last one for donations?
Yeah, tomorrow's the Pittsburgh game's the last
one. Well, actually, I guess it would be tonight since everybody is going to be hearing this on Monday, so we'll call it tonight, whatever.
We're going to do the Conan thing and pretend like it's actually 11:30.
We are. Like, we are totally doing that, so.
Well, then in a few hours, the last game against the Penguins, there's a lot riding on it, actually. We got a bunch of good pledges in for that game, and I'm happy to take more. If you hear this now, keep them coming. Shoot me an email, shoot me a direct message, comment on production line. I don't care what you do. I'll keep track of all of them, and they somehow make it to me. And we've got a lot of stuff riding on the Pittsburgh game, obviously. Everyone looked ahead to this one to be kind of a special one. So there's a lot going on. At the very moment, right now, if just a random player scores for the Wings, it's $25, and it goes up from there. So, I mean, if it's like Helm, for example, it's probably worth somewhere in the 60 to 70 range. Last night, Flip's shorthanded goal was $100, $101. So,
wow.
All kinds of scenarios. I'm happy to keep track of it and stare at the stat sheet and, you know, see who's on the ice because we have a plus or minus Johnny Erickson goal pledge. So, you know, all kinds
impressive.
Of stuff.
It's good stuff.
It is good stuff.
Was
it's been
even last night. That's a plus
sure
right
was.
There.
Yep, exactly. We've got, you know, if Erickson's a scratch, it's $5. If Lev does a scratch, it's $2.
Wait a minute. Now, I meant to ask you this. So Lebda, he was in the lineup, though, but he didn't play a minute. Are we calling that a scratch? Is that one worth a dollar? Like, what's going on here?
I don't know. I'll have to get in touch with our guy who made that pledge and ask him what he thinks. But, yeah, that's a good point. He wasn't scratched, but he sure as hell didn't touch the ice. So
hey,
I don't know what to do with that.
That's the old – you're going to have to get out the rule book on that one and verify. But guys, it's been – I know for all of us, we're all going to – I believe – actually, yeah, we're all going to be there at the pre-party. We're going to be there at the game. Everybody can come and hang out and talk to us. It's going to be great, but it's been a great run-up and raising money, and we're doing – it's all for the Children's Hospital of Michigan at this point. Just a really great cause to help out these kids and do something good. So I know I'm pumped for it. I'm looking forward to seeing all you guys on Thursday and Friday and Saturday or whenever I'm going to see everybody, but it's going to be a sweet time, and we're going to tear Detroit up, man. I'm telling you. At least I know I am, and – maybe George will be toting me around in the trunk hatch by the end of the night.
You know what? I've over the years of all my 32 allergic to alcohol years, I've learned that there's something to be said for public service combined with stacking up some blackmail information.
No,
I'm with you 100%. I've got a similar story. I can't drink at all. I've got a stomach condition too, and the stories I have from college are far better than anyone else's because I remember them happening.
Kyle, yeah. we gotta watch out, man. We gotta watch out. They're gonna be covering us up, dude. They're just gonna be like, we're gonna get on the show, and they're gonna be like, what? It's gonna be.
Well, I mean, I'm 20. So,
that's right. God, you know. I'm the only one that – don't worry about it, dude. We will make sure that you have a good time. Let's just put it like that, and everything will be good. Anyways, it's going to be a blast. Everybody, we encourage you to come out. I know that that we're all really looking forward to it. So with that, we had been talking about doing a live show there. I think we're going to scale that back a little bit. We will have a presence. Obviously, we'll be rolling around, just kind of like shooting some video, talking to everybody, getting some stuff. But the whole live broadcast thing was tough to kind of get all lined up. So we do apologize that we won't be sitting there live broadcast. We may, though. I'm going to bring my stuff just in case. We're going to try it. But if not, we'll still be talking to you guys, shooting some video. I'll be bringing the flip cam. We'll be doing some just recordings. And we're going to string together a huge H2H kind of podcast for next week, since we'll all be traveling to our respective homes. Well, most of us will be, actually, that Sunday. So I'm ready for it. I know you guys are ready for it. And with that, then let's take this thing to the final word. We've had a crazy week, a good week for Red Wings hockey. We got a big week coming up. The push is on. I'm gonna open it up to you guys, man. George, final word from you.
Destroy, destroy, destroy.
And we're not talking about my liver.
No. I'm sorry. I know that. Friday's game is the most important, but I just really want to versus Sidney Crosby and the Pittsburgh Penguins on versus. Just give them a little whack.
Yeah.
I'd definitely put in 10 to the Herm to Hockey Town to whoever whacks Crosby first.
There it is.
Or we can do an over under on the first time Crosby whines to the referees.
Under.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah.
I take the under. I don't care what
the
it
under,
is.
But the two-minute mark, you know.
Under. Sold. No, that's good. I agree. It obviously.
But right now it's points.
It is.
It's points. Get as many as you can. And I think that this past week has really shown that it's not how you do it, it's that you do it. You know. It doesn't matter if you score with the. It doesn't matter if you dig yourself a two-goal deficit. It doesn't matter if you have to score with less than a second left. It doesn't matter if you have to, you know, have the miracle that is Todd Bertuzzi making the 20-game goalless streak. And I like Todd Bertuzzi. I'm still a big fan. But you know what? I don't care. Part the Red Sea. Get the points.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I agree. And obviously, like you said, George, we're putting a lot of stock into Friday just because we're all going to be there. This week is chock full of games, though, when you look at the importance. Obviously, get the points, beat Pittsburgh. They beat us in a shootout.
And God willing that everybody stays healthy, because we don't want East to still be groggy tomorrow.
Exactly.
We don't want East Brighton to still be sore tomorrow.
Exactly. And, you know, and Wednesday.
They won't sit on the bench for so long.
Right. And, you know, and you look at Wednesday, you have the Blues come to town. That's no easy test. They're ramping it up a little bit. And then we have the Friday game against the Wild, which, you know, hopefully we can take care of business there. And then it's a quick turnaround down to Nashville on Saturday. And Nashville is one of the teams that we're chasing right now. So it is a very important week of hockey. H2H aside, it is incredibly important. So the points mantra, George, I totally agree with you. Kyle, let me kick it over to you. A final word from you.
Nothing too important. Just see everyone on Friday, I guess.
Word. I'm looking forward to it. I'm pumped. I'm ready to get there. I'm gonna go pack my bags right now, I think. Petrella, I send it to you, my
sir.
Fire away, friend.
Well, when we started planning this, the Herm to Hockey Town thing way back when, like, who would have thought that a game in late March would mean so much to the Red Wings? Like, it started to become more apparent there in like January and February, like, oh shit, that game's going to be worth something. And I almost got a little misty eyed thinking, wouldn't it be cool if Herm was there as they clinched a playoff spot? Obviously that's not happening, but if things went a little differently, maybe they would have been able to, but probably not. Still, it's too tight, but it's going to be a great game. I'm looking forward to meeting everybody. The fundraising has been so fantastic. And before I forget, I just got actually via Twitter, it kind of harkens back to when we played the Blackhawks. We had most of the money raised in that Blackhawks game was how much they talked about Sidney Crosby, because somebody had a pledge for it'll be $5 every time they bring up Sidney Crosby because he has nothing to do with this game, and it was $5 for every time we see that stupid dryer commercial and stuff like that. So I just got another one here for the game against Pittsburgh. It'll be $1 for every time Ovechkin or the Verizon Center is mentioned.
There you go. And that's $100 in the bank right there. That's what that is.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, every time they show that commercial, $2 for a goal, $20 for a Crosby fight. Good luck with that. And $1 for every time they talk about how awesome Alex Ovechkin is. Good stuff. These get better and better. I can't wait to do it next year.
It's going
to
be awesome. It's going to be awesome. And, you know, at the end of the day, like we said, it's all for Children's Hospital, and it's all for Herm, too, who I can only imagine is just giddy with excitement. It is. We are almost there. We are almost in Detroit. I'm ready to be there. I'm looking forward to it. But we got some hockey to take care of beforehand. Let's hope that the Wings can make it happen this weekend and get some more points. So we'll see what happens. It'll be a good one. It'll mean something, though, like you said, Petrella, when we get there and on Thursday and Friday. That Friday game will definitely have some implications one way or the other. So
should have a packed crowd. They should be loud in addition to our sections. So it should be a really, really fun game for someone to see their first and to meet a bunch of guys and gals that love something as much as he does. So that's a great thing that's happening.
Totally. I'm go ahead, George.
And everybody who's on their way travels. Travel safe, be safe.
Yes, sir.
And,
here.
And as headache free as possible, which is nearly impossible.
Yes,
so.
It is. I'm flying out of New York. There's no way. There's no way it's headache free.
I will be sure to update you all at 5:30 in the morning when I am in my 2.5 hour layover in Minneapolis on Thursday morning. So I will send some love to all of you guys at that point. But yeah, it's gonna be great. I'm ready for it. With that, though, I will let you guys know that if you want to keep up to date with all of the stuff going on with the show, you can follow us at Red Wings OV on Twitter. That's the best place for information. It's coming at you constantly. You can also shoot us an email at theobstructedview@gmail.com. Hey, if you're going to be there at the party, let us know. We'll make sure that we get a chance to talk with you, hang out. That's why we're doing this, so we can all meet, put names to faces and all of that good stuff, and actually just come together in person. So with that, I think that's it, guys. I think we're going to wrap it up here, and I will just leave it with, as George said, safe travels to all of you that are coming to Detroit, even if you're in Metro Detroit area. Safe travels to and from the events this weekend. It is going to be a blast. I cannot wait. We will see you in Detroit on Thursday. Let's go, Red Wings.
Oh, and go blue. Go blue. Get it done. Get it done against Bemidji.